to narratives. Catherine Evans, an agricultural scientist in a previous life, must be drawing on her experience in this extract, in which the heroine Alicia struggles to establish an agricultural supply store in a fading town while coping with bereavement and all against the wishes of her family.
Alicia leaned back from the computer and let out a satisfied sigh. The last of the integrated weed management plans on her list was successfully completed. Once, finishing assignments would have been a cause for a full-scale dancing. Now she could only manage a tiny smile. This job was exactly what she hoped it would be. The problem was with all her other life plans. They were the stuff of nightmares. The bell over the door tinkled and she looked up to greet the next customer. Her cheeks went lax and any hint of a smile disappeared. "Dad," she whispered. "It couldn't be." "Spraying? I need 5 drums of Roundup." His voice made the vision real. She saved a file and jumped to her feet, moving quickly to the counter. Everything else could wait. Dad was visiting a shop for the first time. Words had never been his strength. Over the last few months, he'd spoken even less, to her anyway, and that hardly seemed possible. His presence had her reeling, not that she'd let him see. She'd been back in town a couple of months after 4 years living on campus doing an agriculture degree in Wagga Wagga, 3 hours' drive away. The time away had made her forget how much she clashed with her folks. Alicia coming home to take up the position of agronomist business manager at the new Delilly Ag store was the first major argument. Too bad it was her childhood dream coming true. They ignored that. That battle was before Christmas. Now in February, the dispute wasn't resolved. She'd taken the position, of course, and hadn't seen her parents in weeks. Now he was here. "Hey, Dad, how are you?" She gave him a big smile because heaven knows he wasn't going to let her close enough for a hug and a kiss. She'd upset him and he wasn't about to forgive her yet. She wasn't sure he ever would. Her folks wanted her to have a better life, a corporate life, like a rural advisor in banking or something. But being stuck in an office all day wearing heels and a suit was not her dream. They'd always argued. Mum and Dad thought they knew best for their only child, but it was her life and she wanted to lead it her way. "How's spraying going?" If she kept asking questions, he might give her an answer, but she wasn't holding her breath. After the fight, she'd moved into town and had only been back to Bullock Hill for Christmas and New Year's lunch. No one would call those pleasant affairs. The atmosphere was harsher than Mum's charcoal turkey. Dad's face was harder than usual, and that was another thing she hadn't thought could get any worse. The lines, ingrained with dirt and oil, were deeper and more pronounced than they had been. She set up his account and rang up the chemical, keeping up banal weather chatter that he ignored. Then she came around to the front of the counter and he took a step backwards as if she was getting too close for his comfort. Trying not to let his movement bother her, she put on her brightest voice. "The chemical's out back. Is your ute in the street out there?" He nodded and glared like she'd said something incredibly stupid. But he'd come in the front door, so how was she to know where he'd parked? They walked out back so she could open the yard gates and he could drive in to pick up the drums. Each of the 5 drums had to be heaved and carried over to the back of his ute. They weren't light. It was 20 litres of chemical in a thick plastic container with a thick plastic handle that ate into her hand and rubbed at the raw blisters that hadn't yet formed calluses. She bent her knees and lifted properly, but jeepers, that yard man couldn't come quickly enough. She was on her own in the shop, but a new employee was starting next week. It would be much easier when there was a yard man. She'd opened 2 weeks ago, expecting farmers would only be after advice this early in the season. But after a heap of summer rain freshened up the weeds, chemical was more important than advice. And buying it locally saved them close on 2 hours for the round trip into Orange. Business was booming, but her back was aching from shifting the huge drums of weed killer. Lugging everything was doing her body in, and she claimed to be fit. Delilly didn't have a gym, but she ran regularly, plus the 2 weeks over Christmas when she'd cleaned, painted, and stocked the shop had been their own workout. She'd been sure she could manage the lifting, but every night as she lay in bed, not only did her heart ache, but every other muscle in her body did too. That was another thing they'd argued about, that the job was too tough for her. There was no way she'd ask Dad for his help. She'd bust her shoulder before that. Other blokes she might have asked for a hand, but not him. She wasn't going to prove his point. "How's Mum?" She tried not to gasp as she lugged the fifth drum over and stacked it on top of one of the others. "Fine." He breathed a huff that said so many words in itself. Words like, "You'd know that if you lived at home," or "You'd know that if you didn't want to take on a man's job." He had no right to huff like that. If it was her choice, she'd be living at Bullock Hill. After all the work she and Paul had put into her grandparents' old house, she should be living there. But during the fight, her parents had claimed they'd donated the house to the town's dollar housing scheme. She hoped it was just a threat, another way to try to force her to do what they wanted. Since she hadn't heard that anyone had yet been allocated the property, she was pretty sure that was the case. If they thought taking her home away would change her mind about staying in Dooloolie, then they had to think again. She lived above the shop now and planned to stay there until her parents relented. Working at the ag store wasn't a man's job. It wasn't any different to working on the farm like Mum did, like she'd done in the past. Her dad should know that. She stretched, then stared right in his face. "I'm here now, Dad, and I'm not moving." He didn't meet her gaze. His gruff snort was the only response. So she changed the subject from the personal to the agricultural. "They found Roundup-resistant ryegrass not too far from home, you know." When she looked up at him, his glare almost cut her in half. Well, that wasn't the right thing to say. She thought he'd be interested, obviously not, so she bit her tongue instead of saying more. She dropped the tailgate, lifted each of the five drums and plonked them on the tray. Then she pushed each drum to the front so they wouldn't slide around too much. Her shoulders throbbed with every stretch. "Nothing wrong with it," he stabbed his finger at the last drum she pushed forward. "I'm not saying anything's wrong with using the chemical, Dad. All I'm saying is that there were resistant plants found near you. Maybe you should check to see if you have a good kill and test any plants that don't die after you spray." Another snort told her he wouldn't do a damn thing, stubborn bugger. She was only looking out for him. "I'll come out and check for you. Just tell me when and where you spray, and I'll check in a couple of weeks." She closed up the back of the ute. He grunted, "Don't bother." He walked to the driver's door and opened it. He looked back, eyebrow cocked, as if he'd asked her a question. He hadn't, so she didn't reply. He got in. "See you, Dad. Say hi to Mum for me." She waved to him, glad her voice was still cheery and bright. The ute started and he drove away. There was a prickle in the back of her eyes, but it was just the dust. She rubbed at them with the back of her hands and headed into the shop. Damn parents, why'd they want to push her around now when she was struggling to get through each day without Paul? He'd always been a buffer between her and her folks, her best friend and partner. Why'd they think that because her fiancé had been killed, she'd be willing to change her life plans? She had no idea. She wasn't changing anything. All she had left were the dreams and plans. Living in Dooloolie, opening the ag store, and bringing hope back to the town. The store got her through each day. But she missed Paul. She missed his ideas and his laughter and his presence in the world. Sure, they hadn't spent much time in the same country over the last 4 years, but they always knew where the other was. They had mobile phones and computers and were always in touch. So long as you remained alive, you could keep in touch. Paul hadn't managed to do that, despite promising he would. The first few months were the worst. Alicia wasn't sure she could go on living without him, but she had to sit exams, finish uni, get a degree. She did it all one day at a time, not thinking of the future. When she had to go somewhere, she came back to Dooloolie and opened the shop. That had always been her dream, and it was helping her cope.
You've been listening to Catherine Evans reading from her book, The Healing Season. Narratives is produced by Karina Winmoylan of Arts Canvas Bay FM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.